If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Nehemiah chapter 2. As Keith mentioned, today is our Pledge Sunday for our Rise and Build campaign. And this is a theme that was suggested by Keith and taken from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. There, Nehemiah encouraged the people of Judah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Now, if you go back in that book that bears his name, chapter 1, Nehemiah heard about the condition of the wall around Jerusalem, and he was concerned about the suffering of the people there. In response, he began to pray earnestly over those needs. And before long, God moved him to become personally involved and opened a way for him to reach Jerusalem. We pick up this morning in the story in Nehemiah chapter 2, looking at verses 11 through 20. There it says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem, and there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well, and onto the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach.' I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?' So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem.'" When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he had already demonstrated tremendous dedication to God's work. I mean, after all, he had already made dramatic changes to his life. He traveled a great distance. He'd left all that he had known, and he put himself in personal danger. Why would he leave the security and magnificence of the city of Susa to come to the crumbling town of Jerusalem, still black from fires and filled with rubble? Why was he so willing to dedicate himself to the difficult task of refortifying Jerusalem? Well, verse 12 gives us a clue. He said, "I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem." This was something God was moving him to do. And because God moved him, he would give himself in dedication to that work. Have you prayed about and discovered what God is leading you to do in his ongoing work? What need has God placed on your heart? What need has God placed on your mind? You know, God may be leading us to begin a ministry, to work with a particular age group, to minister to an individual who may be struggling, to meet a need that is going unmet, to engage in a ministry in our community or in other parts of our world. Or God may lead us to participate in this campaign. But what work has God laid on your heart? Will you dedicate yourself to God's work? You see, if we're dedicated to the work, like Nehemiah, we'll assess what needs to be done. In verse 13 through 15, it tells about his travels to inspect the wall around Jerusalem. And you get the impression that the rubble is so thick in some places that he can't even get through. Nehemiah was moved to get involved. But in these verses, he investigated more specifically what needed to be done. He went around traveling the wall, inspecting its condition. You know, when God moves us to get involved, God leads us to consider the needs confronting us. What needs to be done? What needs do you recognize? What needs do you see? What needs has God opened your eyes to recognize? Over a year ago, our campus committee was asked to address the ongoing and increasingly costly problems related to our new elevator. Upon investigation, Tom Vickers, the chairman of our campus committee at the time, was told by our elevator repairman that an elevator with an exterior door will have endless problems due to exposure to the weather. We discovered that for the elevator to work properly and dependably, it needed to be enclosed. So we've assessed what needs to be done. And like Nehemiah, after assessing what needs to be done, God leads us to make a realistic appraisal of the demands. That's what Nehemiah was doing in verses 13 through 15. Examining the wall, determining the work, the materials, and the people that would be needed to complete that enormous task. In response to our situation, we elected a committee to study the need for enclosing the elevator, building a welcome area with a drop-off drive, and connecting it to our children's area. The committee reached out to Vision Bridge, an architectural firm that works closely with churches related to the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and they drafted some plans. And they later contacted construction firms. That committee recommended, and the church voted to proceed with the process of getting it done. Now, I've told you before that I wrestled with this. And as I wrestled with the possibility of making this huge leap, the Lord seemed to regularly lay two questions on my mind. If not now, then when? If not us, then who? And I couldn't answer those questions sufficiently. I believe that this desperately needs to be done, that there's no better time than now, that there are no better people than us, and that there's no greater opportunity for us to prepare this church for those who'll come after us. I don't want to kick this rock down the road so that others have to perhaps pay twice as much 10 years later as is needed. I'm convinced that it's time, and I'm further convinced that it's possible, because with God, all things are. So God has increasingly laid this on my heart. What is God laying on your heart? What have you perceived to be your God-given work? What is God moving you to do in His work? You see, if we're dedicated to the work, we'll assess what needs to be done. And if we're dedicated to the work, we'll enlist the help of others. Whatever our work, we need one another. We need advice. We need encouragement. We need greater participation across the board. Nehemiah, in his day, he needed trusted companions. There is no way he could have completed such extensive work on that wall all by himself. And neither can we. The work is vast enough, and we need as many people who are willing to participate. In verse 12, as Nehemiah assessed the needs, he included only a few people who went around with him. But by verse 17, because of the enormity of the task, he called on the help of others, and participation began to grow and spread. Now, we began with a study committee. It then expanded to the leadership team listed on the brochure. We invited everyone to the leadership event a couple of Saturdays ago. And now we're making an appeal to the entire congregation. At each phase, more and more have expressed a willingness to be a part, a willingness to pitch in. Because the work to which God calls us demands that we work together. And we do so for the good of the church and the glory of God. You know, as we think about this campaign, I know we're talking about a lot of money. And if you know me and the tightwad that I am, you know I wish it did not cost so much. But it does. And the cost doesn't alter the fact that it needs to be done. In verse 17, Nehemiah called them to see the need when he said, "You see the bad situation we're in." Months before, it was the trouble of those in Jerusalem. Now it was Nehemiah's trouble as well. Will we too take personal responsibility for the long-term good of the church, willing to work and sacrifice for its good? And will we work together for the glory of God? In verse 17, Nehemiah went on to say, "So that we will no longer be a reproach." Now, the destruction of Jerusalem and the crumbling walls brought contempt on God from their foreign neighbors. It created the impression that God was powerless or that God had abandoned his people. That God was no longer present and at work. Now, to a much lesser degree, an inoperable elevator, a confusing exterior, an inaccessible facility can create the same impression. See, dedication to the work is inspired by knowing exactly what we are doing and why we are doing it. We're working for the long-term good of the church and for the glory of God. In verse 17, Nehemiah invited others to join that God-given work. And more began to see the need. More and more began to catch the vision. More and more got involved in what God was doing. And as we work together, God leads us to encourage one another. In verse 18, Nehemiah says, "I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me." Nehemiah was making a considerable request of these people. It would be a highly sacrificial enterprise for people who were already struggling. Remember, they'd been conquered. They'd been carried off into captivity. The people who were left were the poorest of the poor. Furthermore, while they were working on the wall, they wouldn't be able to earn a living. So Nehemiah sought to inspire confidence in these dispirited people by pointing out that someone greater is behind this enormous task. Someone has already been at work. "I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me." You see, we're called to remember not only why we are doing what we're doing, but who's behind it. to remember the purpose behind our activities, the reason for our work, and the one we serve. Those are all powerful motivations to serve and to continue serving, even when it calls for risk or sacrifice. Nehemiah was in no doubt as to his objective. And he knew exactly why the walls needed to be rebuilt. It was not simply to protect Jerusalem and the inhabitants who lived in the area. God's name was at stake. So he called the people to work together. And the genuine conviction of Nehemiah was that God was already at work and that God would continue that good work. Nehemiah had not reached Jerusalem because of his skill or because the king was generous. He had reached Jerusalem, he got to that point because God's hand was upon him. God is doing some wonderful things in our church, expanding ministries, creating new opportunities, reaching new people, and growing us together in grace. God is present. God is working. There is reason to be encouraged, and there's reason to be involved. Let us encourage one another in the work. And if we're dedicated to the work, we'll give ourselves to the task. Look at verse 18. After Nehemiah told them about God's presence and the doors he opened, they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. The people responded. They committed to the work, responded almost immediately with unity and enthusiasm. They came together for the common good and the glory of God. Are we willing to do that, however God may lead? You see, the work that God has given us as individuals and as a church calls us to respond with commitment. If we are a part of this church, we have work to do in one way or another. And that work is demanding, it calls for adjustments, it requires a united effort. Now, chapter 3 that follows, it is a boring read. But I want you to read it this afternoon. Because it is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, depicting God's people working together, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, in a common goal. Time and again it said, next to him, next to him, next to him, next to them, side by side, they're working on the wall. Very different people, perhaps with past tensions and offenses, but they put all of that aside because they found something to work together on, something to work toward. This kind of commitment to the work will enable us to continue despite discouragement. Verse 19, we're introduced to some people who've popped up again and again in this story. When Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" So along with growing enthusiasm among some and a commitment to be involved, came a mocking of their efforts and a mischaracterization of their motives. As we seek to follow the Lord, our work at times may be belittled. Our efforts may be mocked or undermined. We may endure mischaracterizations and false accusations. A reminder that God's work is not always easy, and it's seldom accomplished without some form of discouragement. But the example of Nehemiah leads us to continue to focus on and rely upon the Lord. Verse 20, "So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build.'" But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. I love his response, because rather than responding to false accusations, Nehemiah merely stated his confidence in God's power to give success, and he pressed forward. See, rather than being distracted, rather than being discouraged, we too can affirm we, his servants, will rise and build. Those words resonate with persuasive confidence and steady commitment. Whatever may be said, whatever others may do, we are called to focus on and embrace and be about the task to which God has called us for his glory. For Nehemiah, this was not a time to be distracted, a time to be discouraged. It was a time to trustingly follow God in dedication to the work. Will we be that dedicated to the work? Whatever God may be calling us to do, whatever our role, whatever our part, will we assess what needs to be done and seek to do as God leads? Will we encourage one another as we seek to follow and serve the Lord together? Will we remain committed to the task despite its demands and even through times of discouragement? This morning, have you discovered God's leadership? Have you discovered how God is seeking to use you? How your talents, your time, your treasures can be put into? In just a moment, John is going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. We have an opportunity to respond to God's prompting, however that may be, whatever needs we may see, to be a part of God's ongoing work in this world. Perhaps this morning you're not a person of faith, but God is opening your eyes to his presence in this world, his activity on your behalf, but to be a part. And maybe this morning for the first time, you're being led to receive him as Savior and Lord for you in Christ Jesus and to pledge yourself to him in commitment and surrender in response. Perhaps God is leading you to that first step toward salvation. Or perhaps this morning God is opening your eyes to your God-given task, leading you to give yourself to some particular role in his work, a place of service where you see a need that is going unmet, or perhaps full-time Christian ministry. You feel like God is calling you to serve him in a particular role. Will you go where God leads? Will you do as God calls? Or perhaps this morning God has put it on your heart to participate in the Rise and Build campaign, to bring your pledge card during the invitation and place it in the basket at the foot of the cross during our time of response. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're seeking a church home, a place to join in God's work in a spirit of cooperation and encouragement. We would welcome you here at First Baptist. However God may be leading you, will you respond like Nehemiah and the people who eagerly did what God led them to do? John's going to come and lead us in our hymn of them as we respond, however he may be leading, there in your seat, here at the front, or by dropping in the basket a pledge card for our Rise and Build campaign. Would you stand together as we sing hymn number 285, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.